I have the pleasure of welcoming back a couple today that we had on a while back. I just love these folks dearly, and I love what they do and what they stand for. Hezekiah and Abigail Haas.
Good to be back, Jim.
Lord bless. And this is Torah and Testimony Ministries.
Yes.
In Newburgh, Oregon. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell us a little bit about yourselves and tell us about the ministry.
Well, we're an apologetics ministry for the most part. We go and we explain the Hebrew roots for people, introduce them to the festivals, the holy days of the Scripture, such as Passover and Shavuot, which is known as Pentecost in Christian circles, and then you have the fall feast of Yom Teruah, or Day of Trumpets, and then Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, and so on. And we go and we teach people about the prophetic pictures of Messiah and of the redemption of God's people through those feasts. And it's very exciting, and we're always looking forward to the opportunities to come and share more about those things. And we have a website, and it's www.jewsforyeshua.com. We're very excited to be here and share a little bit.
Good. Now, obviously, you serve Yeshua,
yes.
Jesus, as we call him.
Yes.
Good. The completion.
That's right.
Yeah. Praise God.
Our salvation.
The Holy One of Israel.
You know, there are yes. So many just quote-unquote mainline Christians that surprisingly to me, don't really understand deeply that our roots are Hebraic.
Yes.
That what we call the Old Testament, the Tanakh, that's basically where we come from.
Yes.
Jesus said, I have come to fulfill. And I mean, it doesn't get any more Jewish than Jesus.
That's right.
I mean, really.
King
of
the Jews.
He was a rabbi and so forth. And people have to understand. Certainly as we look at the last days, a lot of folks call it eschatology. But as we see the events of the last days unfold, it has so much to do with the feasts and the so forth.
Yes.
You want to expand on that at all?
Oh, sure. Just for example, you can take the Passover and then unleavened bread and Shavuot. Those are all pictures of the first coming, when Yeshua came as our Passover lamb and he was inaugurated King of the Jews, or elected, I should say. And then the giving of the Holy Spirit and all those things. But then we have this other set of feasts, and people don't realize those haven't been fulfilled yet. And those are what we call the fall feast. And it's Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, the last great day. And you might be familiar with 1 Corinthians 15, for example, where it says, at the sound of the last trump, the dead shall be raised incorruptible and receive immortality, and so on and so forth. Well, that term, the last trump, is a Hebrew idiom for Yom Teruah, or what is known today as Rosh Hashanah. That's Resurrection Day. So we can look at that and see, oh, when I'm reading about that in 1 Corinthians 15, I'm reading about how that picture of Yom Teruah is going to be fulfilled when Yeshua comes and resurrects his people. And like Ezekiel 37 says, when he resurrects his people, he's going to resurrect them as an army. And then 10 days later on Yom Kippur, which is also the Day of Vengeance, is when Yeshua brings an army and he takes over the kingdoms of the world. So Yom Kippur isn't just a day of atonement for his people, of final redemption for his people, but it's also the Day of Vengeance, our Elohim, against his enemies, and the time when he takes over the nations of the earth. Another thing about Yom Teruah, known as Rosh Hashanah, is that it's inauguration day. It's the day when all the kings of Israel were coronated. And so when Yeshua comes, he will come as that conquering king and reign in the kingdom from that point forward. And this also will occur on the 120th Jubilee from Adam, which is the year 6000. The year 6000 is quickly approaching if you go by the biblical calendar, not the Hillel, because the Hillel calendar is off by a couple hundred years, which is acknowledged by theologians and rabbis alike. And so that would be the 120th Jubilee, and that would be proclaimed on Yom Kippur. And we also know about a seven-year covenant of Daniel. You know, some people believe that the 70th week of Daniel was already fulfilled, but there are others who believe that it would be fulfilled separate from the 69 weeks. And there's various reasons for that, but we hold to the view that last week, the 70th week, will be fulfilled in the last 7 years, because Revelation talks about two witnesses that will come out and they'll prophesy for 1260 days. Then they're killed by the beast, who will in turn reign for 42 moons. Mm-hmm. Well, 1260 days plus 42 moons equals 7 years. So that fits Daniel, which talks about how in the midst of this covenant, one will rise up and bring an end to sacrifices in the midst of that covenant. And he'll be one of fierce features and so on and so forth, and will go out and destroy the power of the holy people. So there's many things to consider about these feasts. And ultimately, then we have Sukkot. Sukkot is when God and man are restored once again, face-to-face fellowship, us with him and him with us. With us in our new bodies, resurrected immortal beings, and now Yeshua on earth, where we can see him face to face and reign with him for 1,000 years as kings and priests, as Revelation chapter 20 says. Then you have the last great day, Shemini Atzeret. That represents the eighth day. See, you have like the week, 7,000 years. So we're quickly approaching the year 6,000. Then you add the 1,000-year reign to that. That gives us 7,000 years. So after that, then you have the great white throne judgment, which is represented by Shemini Atzeret. And that's when the final resurrection takes place, where the rest of the dead are judged, and they're separated as sheep or as goats. And the sheep are brought into the kingdom as citizens. The goats are sent in the lake of fire. And then all things are made new. And then the new Jerusalem comes down to the 12 gates. 12 gates, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so those who were native-born Israelites who were born again, and those who were grafted into Israel and became born again through Yeshua, they are the ones who go through those 12 gates. And there's no longer any nations, any Gentiles. Everyone who's there has either been saved as a natural branch, or been saved as a grafted in branch to become the nations of Israel that will govern the earth at that time. And just many neat pictures in there. But we've lost it, because we've been taught to believe that somehow the feast have been done away and somehow replaced with these pagan festivals of Christ Mass and Ishtar, where they're egg-laying Ishtar bunny. Well, these things had nothing to do with the early assembly. And so why do we do them? Well, we do them because the Catholic Church converted everything and trained us how to do them, thinking that somehow they have something to do with Christ, when in fact they originally had only things to do with pagan deities that the Bible specifically warns us not to follow after.
Basically, I guess the point that I heard you just make, and I think we're on the same page here, is that everyone who serves the Lord God Almighty, whether as a Christian, his people, we're all Jews.
Mm-hmm. Or Israelites, more specifically.
Israelites, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, the term Jew has become very general today, but originally it just was someone from the tribe of Judah. Mm-hmm. Then that later on expanded to include the whole southern kingdom of Judah and everyone who attached themselves to that southern kingdom. And now today it pretty much refers to anybody who claims any kind
tribes.
Of Israeli heritage, all 12 tribes. But more specifically, biblically speaking, Jewish is just tribe of Judah.
Right.
And even today, tribe of Judah is predominantly the ones that we think of when we have an image in our mind. We think Jew, it's usually the image of Judah that we see in our mind. Mm-hmm. But really, there's 12 tribes and not just one. And
children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yes, ultimately the children of Jacob, who was Israel.
Right.
And we have the fall feast coming up here shortly.
So, yes.
So we're excited.
Have what now?
The fall feasts that are coming up shortly, yeah.
Yeah, we're just about at the cusp of fall here. Actually, as we talk today, we're right there.
Yeah.
So, did you want to talk about those at all?
No.
Expand on? Leave it? Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
I have to say that the earrings, and that's how I got to know these folks. I picked up on the earrings. They're menorah.
Yeah.
And it's like, so started talking, you know, because obviously I have a very Jewish heart for a goy. But anyway, and then got to know you guys, and just it's like, you know, I just love the ministry that you do in educating people, letting us know as quote unquote Christians that our roots are.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And remember, Ephesians chapter 2 says that you who were once a goy You and who are once strangers to the covenants and promises, you are now a fellow heir and citizens of the saints.
Yeah.
So you're no longer a goy. You're
grafted in all those branches.
Yep, and someday you'll find out which tribe you're grafted into.
You know, that's going to be interesting. That is really going to be interesting. So I have a question for you.
Sure.
And I just want to pick your brain a little bit here. This is a totally unfair question.
Okay.
You talked about the two witnesses, and of course it says that, you know, they'll be killed and raised. All in Revelation, read it. What is your take on who those two witnesses are? I know I have my theories.
Yeah, the scriptures aren't absolutely clear about it, but I lean towards it being Moshe and Eliyahu.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moses and Elijah.
Yes.
Okay. We're pretty much on the same page there, too, then.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just curious.
Yeah. And, well, you know, they have similar miracles. When you look at the rivers being turned into blood and the plagues going out, you think of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And Moshe, who was being used by the hand of Yah to bring about those plagues. But then you have the skies is made not to rain during the time of the ministry and some other things, which reminds you of Eliyahu and what he did. So these individuals, if not Eliyahu and Moshe themselves, at least have the character of Moshe and Eliyahu and the power that they had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. I just wanted to hear it from you.
Sure.
So, what is it, Celeste? How many? Five? Down to 5 minutes already. Wow.
Oh, my.
All right. I've taken up way too much time. 5 minutes. Run with it.
Sure. I believe war is coming to this nation very soon. And I don't know how this is going to play out, but I always think about Daniel chapter 8, because it talks about this male goat. And many times historians will relate this to Alexander the Great, but there's a few problems in that. Alexander the Great didn't cross the face of the whole earth without touching the earth. Daniel chapter 8 says specifically that there's this goat that goes across the face of the earth and it breaks off the two horns of this ram, which is the Medo-Persian Empire. Mm-hmm. Says that that this will happen in the latter days. And then also talks about the latter days of this kingdom. This fierce king will arise. And so if it's what we're seeing here is a confrontation coming up between America and Iran and Syria, well, that would explain the goat be like America. We're like Greece in many ways. And it would explain this new arrival, this resurrection, so to speak, of the Medo-Persian Empire, Syria over to Iran and everything in between. Quite interesting if that happens, because a couple... A few years back, I had this dream that this missile came out of the Gulf of Mexico and right there by the Florida Peninsula, and it went across the sky super fast, extremely fast, and it seemed to explode somewhere up in the area of New York that direction. And I don't know if it means anything or not, but I've always had the impression, because the dream seemed very real to me, almost prophetic, but I don't know, we'll wait and see, but I think nuclear war is coming to America. And I think it's going to be soon.
There is so much more that we could get into and talk about. We don't have time on this program, but in the future, very near, will you guys come back?
Yes, sure.
Because there's so much more I want to hear from you.
Yes.
I really appreciate your sharing. You have insights that I think a lot of us need to hear. Hezekiah, Abigail,
you
thank you so much. Shalom.
Again. Shalom.
Yeah, shalom.
God bless you guys.
God bless you.
Love you. See you next week.